Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. This is Dr. Ruth. Thank you for joining me today. We continue with my verse-by-verse teaching of the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ. Today we will pick it up in Luke 13, verse 18. We had left off in the previous session in verse 17, so please go back and listen to that after today's session. And if you are new to this teaching, thank you for joining me today. And there is a lot here in this Podbean channel you can listen to and be blessed. All the previous sessions out of the Gospel of Luke and even the Gospels of Mark and Matthew. Thank you for joining me today. And friend, I highly recommend you listen to this entire thing. Okay, just like if you were to sit to get into a Bible study, you wouldn't quit in the middle, right? Likewise, listen to this entire teaching and share these teachings with friends and send me a comment, email, and like it. We want to hear from you. Right? Okay. To know how the Lord is using this to change your lives. So, what is the upcoming gist of these upcoming verses? We will wrap up Luke 13 today. We begin here in Luke 13, verse 18. The Lord Jesus would use parables to teach about the kingdom of God, and it would be a great parallel to our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. So a parable is just using an illustration to tell a story in order to highlight a spiritual and or moral truth. The Lord Jesus taught a lot in parables. So let's pick up here in Luke 13, verse 18. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like?" Now, so the Lord Jesus is going to start talking about what the kingdom of God is like. And keep in mind, the kingdom of God pertains to God's sphere of influence over the heavens and the earth. The kingdom of God is referring to a physical place when the Lord Jesus comes to establish the kingdom of God at his second coming. That is going to happen at the second coming. And the kingdom of God also refers to the triune God that indwells us as believers. Because when we confess faith in Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit comes by faith and supernaturally starts to live on the inside of us. So as current followers of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God indwells in you. So you have God's influence, power, and dominion on the inside of you as you submit to the Holy Spirit to live out as a child of God in his kingdom. Okay? So the Lord Jesus is talking about what the kingdom of God is like. What shall I compare it to? Verse 19. It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches. So the Lord Jesus is likening the kingdom of God here to a mustard seed that started very small, but eventually that mustard seed grew huge branches that even the birds came and made their nest in it. So what the Lord Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God begins with slow beginnings, okay? The kingdom of God, at least on the earth, began slowly when the Lord Jesus came and started his ministry, and slowly but surely revealing the kingdom of God to the people. And 2,000 years later, the kingdom of God is still being realized as many people are confessing faith in Jesus Christ and coming into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is still being realized as people are receiving more revelations about the workings of God in the here and now. And the comparison here is that the kingdom of God started with this small beginning and started with 12 disciples. Now millions of people are followers of Jesus Christ. And eventually, at the fulfillment, at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God will be fully realized when he comes and set up his physical kingdom here. So the kingdom of God begins slowly and is expanding. Likewise, in your life as a child of God, When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you start slowly but surely to realize the kingdom of God working in your life. It's a progressive revelation as you get to live out your life as a child of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. You start to experience more manifestation of the workings of God in your life. You start to manifest, or you start to see more revelations of God in your life. That is how, as a child of God, the kingdom of God works likewise in your life. As you are obedient, you grow into this relationship with God, you get to know God more, and eventually your full revelation of who God is will be manifested when you die and be with the Lord. Do you get the comparison here? Okay, so it's the same thing. So never disregard small beginnings. We all have to start somewhere, but the goal is that we are moving forward to fuller and fuller manifestation. We are being transformed from glory to glory. Okay, so verse 20, the Lord Jesus continued now to use another parable to describe the kingdom of God. Again, he said, this is verse 20, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? Verse 21, it is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked through the dough. Exactly. You know, yeast, I bake. When you take yeast, you mix it in a dough and you keep mixing it slowly but surely. Over time, that little yeast causes that dough to rise up to its fullest potential. Just like what I just explained. The kingdom of God begins slowly in our heart, and we grow into a fuller manifestation, or we grow into a fuller revelation of who God is, and then when we die, we actually reach the fullest revelation of who God is, because we will face God, or we will see God face to face. Likewise, as I explained, the kingdom of God began with 12 disciples after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today, millions of people are disciples of Jesus Christ, and more people are going to become disciples of Jesus Christ. And we are growing in this progressive revelation of God, and God is manifesting himself to us, and we are growing. We're being transformed from glory to glory. And then if we die before the Lord Jesus come, the full manifestation of the kingdom of God will be evident in our life when we die and be with the Lord. And or if we are alive, the Lord Jesus comes at the second coming, the kingdom of God will be established at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So the conclusion, never, never minimize small beginnings. The kingdom of God in the here and now is still advancing. Glory to God. I hope you, in your own personal life, you can agree that the revelation of who God is in your life is growing on a daily basis, that you see the Lord manifesting himself in your life on a daily basis, and that you see transformation in your attitudes, in your behaviors, in your mannerisms. That is the kingdom of God manifesting in your life through that growth as a child of God, and you are more emboldened to share Christ with others. Okay, so that is the principle there. Okay, we move on to verse 22. And before I even get into verse 22, I want to tell you about a book that will really help you grow into this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And it's a book that will help you live daily and grow and allow the kingdom of God to manifest more in your life. And that book is titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? How to Excel in Your Identity in Christ. I wrote this book a few years ago. It's a how-to book, how to live as a Christian, how to be transformed from glory to glory, how to experience the kingdom of God in the here and now. So it is, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? How to Excel in Your Identity with Christ. This book has its own website. The website is www.areyoumovingforward.com. And if you live overseas, please get this book from Amazon. This book costs $33. Please, we ask that you get it from us if you live in the continental USA. It comes to us as a donation. You can visit that book's website and get it right there and read some of the testimonies about this book there. This book will really transform your life. It's a practical book, how to live daily as a Christian. It talks about the Holy Spirit. It talks about studying the Bible. It talks about witnessing to others. It will really help you. A few churches in the past have used this book as a group study in their churches to help church members to live daily and excel in the identity in Christ and to overcome. So please get this book from us. Send us your donation of $33 or more US dollars. We will ship this to you. Again, visit the book's website at www.areyoumovingforward.com. You can also get it from our safe and secure website. It is drruthtanyi.org/donate. We are also on Cash App. It's the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. We also receive donations through Zelle. If you live in the USA, 909-501-9031. That is a Zelle telephone number, and we will attach this in the description box. Please support this ministry. We are asking you to open your heart to give into this ministry, because whatever you get through us as a book, a resource comes to the ministry as a donation, we put it right back into this podcast. Get it for a friend, get it for somebody. This book will help you. And we thank you in advance for donating into this fruitful ministry so we can reach more people and spread the gospel. We want to help people to transform their lives and live godly lives and excel in who they are in Christ. So would you consider helping us with that endeavor by donating into this ministry? We thank you in advance for doing so. Okay, so we pick it up here in verse 22. The Lord Jesus is going to address a question that many people ask in the here and now. Let's get to it. Verse 22. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Verse 23. Someone asked him, here's a question, Lord. Are only a few people going to be saved? Isn't that very relevant today? We have people who are still asking this question. Are you guys Christians? Are you guys the only ones who are going to heaven? People ask these questions. Today, let's find out how the Lord Jesus himself would respond. He said to them, verse 24, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Let me pause. What is the narrow door the Lord Jesus is talking about? He is the door, right? The Lord Jesus himself tells us that in the Gospel of John, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is saying that I am the door. I am the narrow door. The narrow here does not mean anything else except it is referring to the Messiah, the only sacrificial lamb of God, the only God who became a man, Jesus Christ, the only person in the history of the entire world who experienced a supernatural conception by God, the Holy Spirit, the only human being who did not inherit a sinful nature, the only human being who did something about the sinful nature, who died on Calvary's cross and on the third day was raised from the dead. He is the narrow door, because he has proven himself with eyewitness verifiable evidence as the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. There is only one name given unto mankind by which salvation must come, the man Jesus Christ. Because only Jesus Christ claimed to be God, and he backed it up 100% with eyewitness verifiable evidence. There is no other human being who experienced a supernatural conception except Jesus Christ. All other human beings were born into this world and inherited a sinful nature because of that transgression committed by Adam and Eve at the Garden of Eden, as recorded in Genesis chapter 3, when mankind fell from grace. Every other so-called religious leader born into this world inherited a sinful nature, and every human being needs Jesus Christ to redeem them from that sinful nature before they can have this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus Christ is saying, you must come through the narrow door. Yep, Are you getting this? Only Jesus Christ. Because many, the Lord Jesus continues, let me just reread that for context. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Why did Jesus say many will try to enter? Because today we have so many false pseudo-religious leaders who are telling you that there are so many ways that leads to God. Absolutely not. I just explained why only Jesus Christ qualifies to be the Messiah. Let me ask you, whoever out there is in the world who claim to say that there are many ways and they point people to some other religious leader, did that leader experience a supernatural conception by God, the Holy Spirit? No. Did that leader die and was raised from the dead? No. Don't be deceived. There is just one way, Jesus Christ, okay? Oh my goodness, glory to God. I just hope that the Holy Spirit is ministering to your heart right now. Don't be deceived. There is just one way, Jesus Christ. All those so-called religious leaders, they themselves need help. Muhammad, Allah, Krishna, I respect them. But guess what? They needed a savior because they were born into this world with a sinful nature. So Jesus is saying that all these people who are lying to people, if I can say it that way, that there are many other ways, they will not enter because they are looking for other ways and not the narrow gate. Let me continue here. Verse 25. Once the owner, the Lord Jesus, is going to use a simple parable to illustrate how on the last day he will reject many people who chose the broad way, representing false ways. Verse 25, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you come from." Verse 26, then you will say, "We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets." Let me pause here. A couple of things are going on here. The Lord Jesus is saying on that last day, and the last day could be when you die, right now. You see, you have an opportunity to come into this relationship with God through Jesus Christ and go through that narrow gate, right now, that narrow door. But when you die and you reject Jesus Christ, you're going to belong to the open door, which is eternal damnation, hell. But that is not God's will for anyone. Jesus is saying that upon your death, if you reject him, he would tell you he doesn't know you. Or at his second coming, if you had rejected him, he would say he doesn't know you. This is serious because Jesus Christ is a righteous judge, but he is giving each of us the opportunity right now to be right with God through him. Okay? And the narrow gate, as I just explained, is only because Jesus Christ is the only human being who qualifies to be our Savior. It's not narrow in the sense that God does not want you to enjoy life. That is a lie. In fact, once you truthfully confess faith in Jesus Christ, you become enlightened, you would start to live. You would start to live a more meaningful and purposeful life. There is no narrowing in that regard of living the Christian life. The Christian life is an abundant, blessed, fruitful life. But the narrow is in the sense that you can only get to know God the Father through Jesus Christ. So Jesus is telling us here that all those who are attempting to know God the Father through any other means, he does not know them, he will reject them. I hope that is not you. And then he says something here in verse 26. Let me repeat that. Then you will say, "We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets." What is the Lord Jesus saying? He is saying that the fact that you know of me, the fact that you claim that you ate with me and you saw me teaching, doesn't mean that I know you or you know me personally. You see, just being an observant follower of Jesus Christ, just going to church to hear the word of God, coming to a Christian meeting to hear Christ proclaimed, doesn't make you a true follower of Jesus Christ. That is what we are hearing here. Because these people claim that they ate and they drank with Jesus. But he is saying that he did not know them. These people are saying that they saw Jesus teaching, but he is saying he did not know them because these people were superficial followers. They were not genuine, heartfelt followers. Verse 27, the Lord Jesus continued, but he replied, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. Exactly. So just casually listening about Jesus' teachings does not make you a genuine follower. Going to church does not make you a genuine follower. What makes you a genuine follower? Let's just talk about that right now. It is believing in your heart in Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Jesus himself said that, not me. What makes you a genuine follower is recognizing that you came into this world a sinful man. Recognizing that you inherited a sinful nature. Even though you didn't commit any acts of sin, just being born into this world qualifies all of us as sinners. For the Bible teaches all have fallen short and we all need the glory of God. I'm paraphrasing there. When you recognize that, you acknowledge your sinful nature and you open your heart to receive God's forgiveness, which is already available, and you call upon the name of Jesus, he will accept you. That is what makes you a genuine follower. So let me ask you, have you truthfully acknowledged you are a sinful man? Have you truthfully acknowledged that you need a Savior, Jesus Christ? Have you truthfully called upon the name of Jesus to come into your heart to redeem you from that sinful state? Have you done that? If you have never done that and you think you're living a righteous life, Jesus Christ is saying he does not know you. So we can fix that right now. It's simple. As you've been listening to me, I trust the Holy Spirit that your hearts have been sensitive to receive this because the word of God never returns void. Friend, salvation is now. And I know just the way Satan operates, something in your mind is telling you, oh, you don't need to do that. Yes, you do. This is God speaking now. It is simple. If you believe in the things I'm saying about Jesus Christ, I have already explained all of that, but let me remind you. The only human being who experiences supernatural conception by God the Holy Spirit, and he did not inherit a sinful nature, Jesus Christ came into this world sinless. The only human being in the history of the entire world. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, Son of God, and man 100% because he was birthed into this world by a woman. Jesus Christ had this dualistic nature, 100% God, 100% man. Jesus Christ is the incarnate word of God, the gospel of John tells us that, John 1:1-14. Jesus Christ is and was God in the flesh. If you believe that Jesus Christ was God and he revealed the works of the kingdom of God to us and he died on that cross and on the third day he was raised from the dead, the only human being who experienced or who has experienced this bodily resurrection and verified by hundreds of eyewitnesses. If you believe what I am saying right now, the Bible says it is simple. All you have to do is confess that, and by faith, Jesus Christ will come into your heart. And then you will start to experience supernatural transformation, and things will be revealed to you. You come as you are, and then you will know much, much more through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to do that, this is simple. Just repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ died for my personal sins. He was buried and on the third day he was raised from the dead. He is alive. Dear God, come into my heart. Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart and change me. I believe by faith you have accepted me. Thank you, God. I declare and decree I am a Christian. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you said that prayer genuinely and you meant it based on God's word, Romans 10:9 declares that if you believe that you said that genuinely, you are a Christian. And Ephesians 1:13 says that God, the Holy Spirit, has instantly sealed you and you belong to God's kingdom. You are a child of God. Now you belong in the narrow way. Now you are walking in that narrow door. You've chosen the door, the good shepherd, the life, Jesus Christ. God knows you personally. Welcome into God's kingdom. friend, check the description box, send me an email that you've prayed this prayer genuinely. I will send you a free book. Glory to God. Okay, so we move on now. The Lord Jesus had said that in verse 27, all those who claimed that they knew him, knew of him, he would reject them. And now in verse 28, he is going to talk about the weeping and describe the anguish and the pain that those who rejected him in this life will experience in hell. Verse 28, there will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, be you yourself thrown out. Exactly. There's also something here. The Lord Jesus is saying that all those who reject him in this life, in eternity, in hell, they will have a conscious awareness of the fact that they had an opportunity to accept Christ and they rejected. And they will be aware of those who are in the presence of God and the prophets. You want to be in God's side. You want to be in the presence of God, not on the other side. Okay? Verse 29. The Lord Jesus is going to now talk about how the kingdom of God is open to all people. You see, keep this in perspective. At the first coming of Jesus Christ, he came for the Jews. Obviously, the Jews rejected him and the door was open for the Gentiles. So now keep in mind that here he was preaching to the Jews and others in the crowds. There were others in the crowds who probably were not Jews, but there's a principle here. The Lord Jesus is going to teach that the kingdom of God is open to all those who will believe, Jews and Gentiles alike. Verse 29, people will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Exactly. So the Lord Jesus is saying that in the kingdom of God and or in that last day, you will see people from all walks of life. You will see people from all the nations. And what would unite us is that we accepted Jesus Christ as the narrow gate. Okay, we would all be joined together and celebrating in the kingdom of God. That is what the Lord Jesus is saying. Verse 30, indeed, there are those who are last who will be first and first who will be last. There's a message here too. The Lord Jesus is saying that in the kingdom of God, there are people here in the here and now that we have so much reverence for, unfortunately. There are people in the world today that people respect them, people elevate them. The Lord Jesus is saying that some of those people in the kingdom of God, they will not be recognized. That in the here and now, some of the people who are not even recognized, who are living a righteous life, who are advancing God's kingdom, who are truthfully allowing God to work through them, but they are not known here and now in the kingdom of God in the last day, they will be recognized. Are you getting this? So the way God honors people is not the same way we honor people today. Today, unfortunately, even in the body of Christ and obviously in the world, people honor those who are wealthy, who have position of affluence. In today's social media world, people think that when you have a couple million followers, you are recognized by God. That is not true. Jesus is saying that here. You know how we get promoted in God's kingdom? It's service and humility. Mm-hmm. There are people today in this world who are not recognized by the world because they don't have huge followers, they don't have wealth, but God recognizes them, and on that last day, they will be elevated. Vice versa, there are those who are super wealthy, they are recognized by everybody else, but when they die, who cares? Their names are blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life, they won't be honored. So we have to be careful when we see those who have huge followers and think that God recognizes them. God recognizes them. Jesus Christ is telling us right now, no, many of them I won't recognize because why? They rejected me. Mm-hmm. They did not want to come through the narrow door. They chose their own way. And guess what? I don't know them. I don't recognize them. That's the message there. Moving on. Verse 31, at that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you. Now, we don't know if these Pharisees meant that genuinely or they were just saying that as a way to get rid of Jesus because they did not want to hear his teachings. Why? Jesus was revealing the true nature of God. Jesus was pointing out their hypocrisy. They didn't like him. So we don't know why they wanted Jesus to leave, but more than likely because Jesus had been revealing the hypocrisy, they probably just wanted to get rid of Jesus and use the name of Herod. Let's find out how the Lord would respond. Verse 32, he replied, this is Jesus, go tell that fox, fox here represent, go tell that sinful man, go tell that man who is living and practicing sin. it's like an expression, go tell that man who is not right with God. He says, go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will reach my goal. Let me pause. Nothing was going to deter the Lord Jesus from fulfilling his calling. I just love it. The Lord Jesus responded by saying, you go tell that sinful man, you go tell that unrighteous man that I will continue to reveal the kingdom of God. I will continue to fulfill my mission today and tomorrow. You won't deter me. I will do my job until God ordained time for me to be exalted on the cross. Okay? And he, towards the end there, he said, on the third day, I will reach my goal. Now, there is an urgency here in what the Lord is saying. He said, I will continue to do my job today and tomorrow, meaning there is urgency here, and on the third day, alluding to the fact that on the third day, he will be resurrected. Verse 33, in any case, I must press on today and tomorrow. There you go, that urgency there. I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. Now, why Jerusalem? Because Jerusalem was considered the city of God. Mm-hmm. It was Israel's largest city back then, and it symbolizes a spiritual capital, okay? And Israel also had a lot of Jews traveling in there, a lot of other people going in there. There was a lot of traffic there. So the Lord Jesus is like, I will go to Jerusalem. At this point in his ministry, he was heading to Jerusalem to die on the cross. In God's largest city, in the presence of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. Now in verse 34, he is going to lament about Jerusalem. Even though Jerusalem was the largest city, it stood for spiritual gathering, or it represent a spiritual capital. It represented a city that had a lot of traffic. Jerusalem, the Jews had rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. So he is going to lament over the rejection of him. So in verse 34, the Lord Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Let me pause. There's a lot here. A couple of things. We see free will. Jesus is saying that the Jews in Jerusalem were not willing to receive him. We see the Lord Jesus lamenting. He was just crying out how people were rejecting the best gift of God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God has still given people a free will. And God is sorrowful. God hurts when people reject the free gift of salvation and send themselves to hell. Do you see that? Likewise, when we preach Christ, the kingdom of God, we reach out to those who are suffering and dying or deceived by Satan, and they reject us. When we experience pain and sorrow, we have to understand that Jesus Christ, our model, our leader, our teacher, experienced this too when the Jews rejected him. He is weeping right here. But you know what? God has given each man a free will. We have to come to God on our own choice. He will not force himself unto us. Again, this debunks this whole notion that God chooses those to save and those not to save. It's a lie. Salvation is for whosoever will believe and receive, just like we see the Lord Jesus exemplifying that here, that he presented himself to the Jews in Jerusalem and as a Messiah, but they were not willing to accept him. Friend, I hope you have been willing and your heart are open and you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Verse 35, look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So the Lord Jesus is saying that, you know what, you won't accept me, you rejected me, your house is left desolate, bad things will happen to you. You won't see me again until you acknowledge that I am the Messiah. And friend, history tells us that in 70 AD, the Romans destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. So the Lord Jesus had warned them that you rejected me, your house is left desolate, you have no protection. Damages, bad consequences will ensue, and it did happen again. 70 AD, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. Friend, this brings us to the end of Luke chapter 13. What is the key principles we have learned here? Personal growth in the kingdom of God and true repentance. So friend, I am really hoping that as I had explained about the fact that the kingdom of God begins with small beginnings, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and as you submit to God the Holy Spirit, as he begins his sanctification work, molding and shaping you into the image of Christ, you will begin, or you are already experiencing more manifestation, more evidence of the kingdom of God manifesting in your life. Friend, patience is required. So whatever you're struggling with receiving from God today, we are called to believe and submit and just trust the process that the Holy Spirit is molding and shaping you ultimately into the image of Christ. And whatever your hearts are desiring to the extent that is in accordance with the Word of God will come to manifestation as you stay obedient and submissive to God. The kingdom of God is being manifested in your life. And friend, for all those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want to remind you to contact us so I can send you a free book. And friend, I want to just pray for you today because I know that the Lord has really blessed you. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for all the listeners. I just pray, Father God, that you continue to reveal more of the kingdom of God in their hearts. And I pray that you continue to manifest more of yourself in their lives as they continue to obey and submit to your promptings. Father God, I just thank you, God, that you're such a faithful God, that today you are leading and guiding each listener's step. And I pray you embolden them to just share their love of God with others and to share Christ with others. I pray that you meet them at their unique places of needs. I pray that you just bless them with the desires of their hearts. I pray that you give them the tenacity and the patience as you are manifesting more of yourself in their lives and as they are patiently experiencing the kingdom of God manifestation in their lives. I thank you, Father God, for doing these things because it is your will that we be glorified from glory to glory. And thank you for all those who believe in these things and all those who have come in agreement with me in this prayer. For I have prayed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we all say amen. Friend, remember to get the book, Moving Forward with Jesus, How to Excel in Your Identity in Christ. It will bless us and bless you. And I say thank you for helping us with your donation so we can produce more of these teachings to help people to transform their lives. And please listen to the announcer. And God loves you.
As you have been blessed, can you bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more teachings and bless others in return? This program is solely sponsored by the financial donations from friends and listeners like you. We need your financial support in order to reach more people with Dr. Ruth's simple but profound life-changing messages. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info at drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all your donations are 100% tax-deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.